Danielle, the floor is yours.
Thank you, James. Welcome, everyone, to today's audio conference call on early childhood funding, the President's 2012 budget, and wrapping up the 2011 appropriations. Due to the large number of registered participants, all lines will be muted during the call. If you would like to ask a question of one of the speakers, please email your question to me at dewen@clasp.org. Questions may be submitted at any time. We have a total of four speakers today who will talk about the early childhood provisions in the President's budget proposal for fiscal year 2012 and give us an overview of the fiscal 2011 proposals in the House. Joining me today are Helen Blank, the Director of Leadership and Public Policy at the National Women's Law Center, Adele Robinson, Deputy Executive Director at the National Association for the Education of Young Children, and Harriet Dichter, the National Director of the First 5 Years Fund. I'm Danielle Ewan, Director of Child Care and Early Education here at the Center for Law and Social Policy. Adele and I will start with some basic information about the President's proposal for fiscal year 2012, and then Helen and Harriet will take the lead on sharing information on the most critical happenings in Washington right now, today, this minute, which is the process to finalize funding for the current year. As a reminder, as we go through this conversation, this year is very difficult because the budget for 2012 and discussions of the appropriations levels for 2011, the current fiscal year, are occurring at the same time. Normally, Congress has finished work on appropriations by now, and the President's budget provides the blueprint for conversations to move forward for the next year. Fiscal year 2011 started last October, October 1st, 2010, but we still do not have funding levels for this year. Helen and Harriet are going to talk about that in a few minutes. Adele and I are going to talk about 2012, which begins on October 1st, 2011, that is, many months from now. The President released his priorities in his budget statement on Monday. His proposal sets out his goals, but there is no requirement for Congress to adopt it in part or in whole. This is just a proposal and is not set in policy at this time. These are not funds that are now available to the states or programs, but rather how the President would like Congress to allocate funds for the coming year. The budget offers a blueprint. This year, the budget offers a path towards deficit reduction and proposes significant cuts to federal spending as well. The proposal for fiscal year 2012 from the President will freeze discretionary spending overall for 5 years, although the plan shows that while some programs will be cut and some will be frozen, others will get increases. A number of the President's proposed cuts will slash spending for services and programs that support low-income families. The budget proposal does include a major focus on early childhood programs. The President proposed that CCDBG be increased by a total of $1.3 billion and that Head Start grow by $866 million. These funds would ensure that children receiving services with economic recovery funds continue to benefit as those funds expire. The CCDBG proposed funding level includes additional money to implement quality improvements through a hoped-for reauthorization. The President has also proposed $350 million for an Early Learning Challenge Fund that, as of yet, has not been passed into law, and $23 million to support state efforts to implement paid family leave programs. On the tax side, the budget proposal also recommends help for middle-class families paying for child care by increasing the dependent care tax credit for most families who are earning up to $103,000 a year and to increase it by 75% for families making between $15,000 and $75,000. The maximum credit for a family with two children with making up to $70,000 a year would increase by $900. Let me underscore that these are just the President's recommendations for how funding should be allocated next year. The funds are not coming to your states or programs in the near future. This is a good proposal, one that we're happy with, but it is just that, a proposal. And Congress carries a very big voice in deciding how to spend the money. Adele is going to talk about some similar issues from the budget about the President's proposals for the Department of Education.
Adele. All right, thank you, and good afternoon to everyone. As Danielle mentioned, the administration continues to pursue passage of the Challenge Fund and, if passed, ask for $350 million in competitive grant spending. The fund would be administered jointly by the Departments of Education and Health and Human Services. In terms of other current programs, there is also some other very good news in what the President is requesting, which would be a $50 million increase to IDEA Part C, the program that pays for services to infants and toddlers with developmental delays and disabilities. The budget also proposes a significant reorganization of the Department of Education around P-12 and consolidates or eliminates a number of programs through that process. This would require, however, a reauthorization of ESEA around their proposal. If their proposal becomes the blueprint for reauthorization, it would continue, as under the ERA funds, to have a priority area for early childhood under Race to the Top and the Investing in Innovation grants, otherwise known as I-3 grants. Another example of the reorganization is the renaming of Title I, the grants to school districts, as the Career and College Ready Students, grants to states and districts, and it would also say in that area that districts should be encouraged to include early childhood spending with that money on children younger than kindergarten, as well as in the school turnaround grants for low-performing schools, all of which is currently available but not well encouraged or used. One of the proposed eliminations, however, is Even Start, the family literacy program. Policy-wise, regardless of the name of the program, their focus is on the improving of early learning outcomes. Overall, we are very happy that the President has chosen to highlight the importance of early childhood education and education generally in his budget proposal, even as he has called for a freeze overall for 5 years in domestic spending. So I turn this now over to Helen and to Harriet, because what's really important now is knowing this as background, but focusing right away like a laser on the critical work going on right now in Congress to finish this year's funding cycle. Helen.
Thanks, Adele. Hi, everybody. This sometimes feels like Groundhog Day for many of us, and I'm sure for you, too. Let me start by setting the stage with a reminder about the usual process. Every year, Congress has to pass 13 appropriation bills to fund discretionary programs, including CCDBG, Head Start, and the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. As you know, we all worked for most of the last year to have the ARRA funding for CCDBG and Head Start included in the FY 2011 appropriations bill. The fiscal year, as Danielle pointed out, for 2011 began on October 1, 2010, but Congress had not passed appropriation bills by then. As a result, they had to enact what we call a continuing resolution to keep the government going and the funds flowing. The short-term continuing resolution passed on December 22nd, and as you know, did not include the increases that we needed for child care or for Head Start and early Head Start to maintain the ARRA funding or any money for the Challenge Fund in FY 2011. The resolution ends on March 4th, and Congress must again pass new legislation to fund the government for the rest of the year. This is a very important issue because the funding levels established now for fiscal 2011 will impact the negotiations in future years. The higher the funding level we get for FY 2011, the higher the likelihood we will keep those funding levels in FY 2012 and beyond. The picture is frankly unbelievable in the House. Last Friday, the House Republican leadership released their bill, H.R. 1, to allocate spending for the rest of the current fiscal year, between now and September 30, 2011. They set a goal to cut a huge amount that I'm sure you've read about, $65 billion from the overall levels of spending in 2010. While they made cuts in nearly every agency, the cuts in early childhood programs were drastic. The ARRA funds are not included, so the base year to make cuts is fiscal year 2010. The House assumes the ARRA funds are not continued and then goes further. CCDBG is cut by $39 million, and Head Start is cut by $1.083 billion. In CCDBG, 150,000 children in low-income working families would lose help paying for child care. The Head Start cut would result in 218,000 children lost, 16,000 classrooms being closed, and 55,000 teachers, teacher assistants, and related staff being laid off. Remember that we're already 5 months into the fiscal year. If these cuts occurred, they would pull the rug out from under the programs that are already operating under grants at FY 2010 levels. Many Head Start and Early Head Start programs would have to both cut children and lower the level of quality and services that they offer. Programs might have to limit the days and hours they're open and the kind of support services they can make available to children and families. Families who rely on Head Start could find themselves without access to programs with little notice, making it difficult to work and definitely impacting children's school readiness. We must work very hard over the next few weeks to get our message out. Investments in early education help us build a smarter, healthier, and stronger America. Deficit reduction will only come from wiser investment of public dollars, and data constantly shows that starting early is such a wise choice. Early education ultimately lowers costs and reduces deficits by increasing academic performance, improving health outcomes, decreasing reliance on social programs, and building economic productivity. Head Start, Early Head Start, and the Child Care Development Block Grant are our key federal early learning investments. They don't reach millions of young children. Only 1 in 6 eligible children receive child care assistance. Only 4% of eligible infants and toddlers can participate in Early Head Start. And less than half of eligible preschool-age children can access Head Start. The House will be voting on this disastrous proposal this week. We need everyone to commit to make as many contacts as possible with their members of Congress, especially those newly elected offices. The message is simple. Please tell them that the H.R. 1, the House funding package, makes unacceptable cuts to Head Start and child care. These cuts mean that 368,000 children will lose access to early care and education. Child care and early learning programs help children succeed in school and later in life and help parents work. These cuts will hurt, not help, our economy. At the very same time, actually next week, we need you to also make calls to the Senate and are planning to make this easier for you by setting up a call-in day for next Thursday, a week from today. The Senate has not yet released their plan for spending for the rest of this fiscal year. They need to hear from us that the House plan is unacceptable and that balancing the budget cannot be done on the backs of the most vulnerable children and families. We will all be sending you out an alert in the next few days with a call-in number for the Senate, which we hope you will circulate widely to your networks. Each of our organizations has information to help in the debate about funding levels for the rest of this year, and Danielle will give you those websites at the end of this call. But the most important thing to do is call your members of the House and Senate and tell them that these cuts will decimate children and families in your state and community, families who are working hard to find and keep jobs and help prepare children for school and beyond.
And Helen, can you reiterate for people what the cut is in the House proposal?
The cut for Head Start is $1.083 billion. The cut for child care is $39 million. However, the House proposal also does not retain the ARRA money. So we lose $1 billion from Head Start and $1 billion for child care in addition. So it is devastating. Remember, in the Senate, we are still fighting to keep that ARRA money.
Harriet.
Thank you. Helen is absolutely right about our need to be active. The most important thing right now is to make phone calls this week to your member of Congress in the House and next week to contact your senators. We need to make sure that they are hearing loudly and firmly from everyone about the message to protect the children currently participating in the child care and the Head Start programs. This does mean, as we've mentioned, maintaining the ARRA funds. We have to be clear that the cuts proposed by the House are catastrophic and are not acceptable. Your voice with information about what this means in your state and in your community is vital. Last week, we sent out to everyone a sample press release, and you can certainly still use that to try to generate press attention. Some of you have also used a sample opinion piece that was circulated to get attention to the issues. We need to ask you to focus on pulling as much information together as possible about what will happen in your state and in your local community if we are not able to continue with the ARRA funds that we've had to support our programs. We circulated to you those big state numbers to show how many at-risk children would be impacted in your communities. But you also know a very important part of the story, which is the local impact. And it's very important for you to capture that information, to share that information, and I cannot underscore this enough, in as public a manner as possible, and to communicate to your federal elected officials the urgency, the importance, and the seriousness of our work to meet the needs of at-risk children in our communities and the short and long-term impact from that work. So that does mean collecting the information about the growth in our eligible families, how many families may be waiting for services, how your state may be changing the rules of the game in terms of waiting lists, parent fees, reimbursement rates, et cetera, as well as the economic impact from the loss of service dollars. And again, it's the stories together with the numbers that you have that will be persuasive to the members of the House and Senate who represent you. I think it's fair to say that we are in a crisis, and we have to help our elected officials understand the legitimacy and the positive impact from the taxpayer dollars that support child care and Head Start. We also think that one of the most important and compelling ways that we have to tell the story to the elected officials is to do this in your home communities. And to help people to do this, the First 5 Years Fund does have a new website. It's called Our Head Start. We've collected success stories of Head Start alumni and are using that to connect those stories to federal policymakers. I would encourage people to check that out, because there will be things on that website that you will be able to use, and to also have you encourage the alums that you know to post their own stories. 0-3 has also developed budget-based resources, and they include videos that help you to understand this process and how you can be involved in using local stories and helping them to generate attention to the importance of the work. In addition, I want to stress the other thing coming up for next week is that federal members will be home. Both the Senate and the House are having district work weeks starting the week of February 22nd. What a great time for you to invite staff and members into programs in your home communities to make this live for them. They can hear about the good work people are doing in their early childhood programs, and they can see firsthand the impact of quality in our Head Start programs, our early Head Start programs, and our child care programs. They can see that in their communities, and importantly, they can have a one-on-one conversation where they can hear from you the disastrous impact of the cuts that would be had for our children if we end up with H.R. 1 going forward. So this is very important, and I want to urge people to work with your own networks to try to get your members in. I also want to offer some examples of things that we know are happening. For example, Head Start is planning an event. They're calling this the 2011 Head Start Strollin', and they're planning to do this event on Wednesday, February 23rd from 1 to 3 p.m. This is envisioned as a way to carry the message about the importance of the proposed Head Start cuts. In this scenario, the Head Start community will take the children in their strollers and visit local offices for senators and congressional representatives and talk about Head Start in the local community. So we all need to be creative, understanding that next week is a really important week, again, where your senators will be at home, your House of Representative members will be at home, and it's an opportunity to make a personal connection so that they really understand these resources are spent at the local level, are invested in opportunities for children at the local level. It is important to make the case in every way that the cuts proposed by the House for the current year are real cuts to programs and that children will suffer without the funding. The impacts will be felt into the future, and we have to again emphasize the value of early childhood education both today and in the future. This means reaching out to all of our coalitions and all of our partners. And again, we cannot stress this enough. It is important that your members of the House and the Senate hear from you and your coalition partners about the importance of these programs to their states and communities. This is part of the pathway to trying to preserve the current level of funding and investment that we have for our young children. One thing I really have to ask everyone is the question, if you aren't finding the time to contact your elected officials in the near term, you have to ask yourself who is taking the time to do that. So if you have one thing you can do this week, it will be to contact your House member and to let the House member know that the proposal for child care and Head Start is not acceptable and why that is. If you have one thing to do next week, it is to call your two U.S. senators and to let them know that you are counting on them to maintain all of our early childhood services in fiscal year 11. And if you add one more thing, and of course we want you to do this too, it's that you will do whatever it takes with your network and your partners to make this as public as possible through media coverage. So that's a two-week plan of action for you. We are all working together. We want to make sure we are providing you with all of the information and support that you need. The advocates in Washington are doing their very best, but we know that it's only when there is outreach to members of Congress by constituents that we can truly make an impact. So I'm going to turn things back over to Helen to wrap up and make sure we're all very clear about the call to action and the current timeline.
Let me quickly recap where we are, as we have given you a lot of information, but we have been very clear about what we want you to do in the next 2 weeks. The House, we believe, will vote on their bill tonight or tomorrow. They're having some problems because they have so many amendments that it's challenging to get through the process. But they're voting on this bill shortly, and the most important thing that you can do is to call your members of the House immediately and let them know that H.R. 1 is bad for children and families and that investments in early childhood programs are critical. Tell them that if H.R. 1 passes, 368,000 children will lose access to early care and education. The number for the switchboard is 202-224-3121. Please call and ask for the office of your representative, your House member. It sometimes sounds overwhelming because they are cutting so many programs. Why should I bother? We also say, oh my goodness, we'll not be able to change the vote. You cannot have our elected officials vote on such a terrible bill for the future of this country by not hearing from their constituents. We can only stop this if we lay the groundwork in the House. Next, we must focus on the Senate. After you call your representatives, call your senators. Call your senators next week and tell them that the House bill is unacceptable and urge them to sustain enough funding for child care and Head Start so that 300,000 children do not lose these vital supports. The same number at the Capitol switchboard can be used to connect you to your senator's office. This is not such good news either, because this is such a hotly contested fight. It could drag on before past March 4th. We're all talking about counting down to March 4th. You could hear from us on March 4th if we want you to count down until April 4th. So please stay tuned for our messages to you. We promise to keep you up to date on how this unfolds.
Thank you, everyone. Before we turn to questions, I want to give you the information about several resources that we've talked about so that you can help mobilize your networks to advocate with members of Congress. Again, if you have a question, send it to deween@clasp.org, and we'll get to it in just a moment. I also want to let people know that both an audio file and the written transcript of this call will be available on our websites in the next few days, and we will make sure that we get that information out to people. In terms of resources, the National Women's Law Center has a March 4th site on their website to help you advocate and organize. That website is nwlc.org. CLASP has compiled state-specific information on child care expenditures and participation and has comparison charts to show funding over several years to show the impact of what would happen if the dollars went out of your state. We also have information on each state's ARRA allocations at CLASP, C-L-A-S-P.org.
The Early Care and Education Consortium has developed a kit for advocates that provides all the information needed to plan a site visit with members and staff, as Harriet recommended you do, starting next week when folks are on their district work weeks and are in your communities. The First 5 Years Fund has the voices of Head Start alumni at ourheadstart.org, and the National Head Start Association also has messages and alerts on their site at nhsa.org. Finally, 0-3 has developed budget resources and videos to help tell the story on their website, 0-3.org. If you are unsure about who your representative or senator is, you can look them up on two websites before you call the switchboard. For the House, which is your member or your representative of Congress, the address is simply house.gov, and there's a way to just search for your member. And for the Senate, the address is senate.gov, and has a list of senators by state, and you can see who your two senators are. And as soon as you find out that information, pick up the phone and call the Congressional Switchboard with your message at 202-224-3121. We're now going to turn to questions. We will all, of course, send out alerts and additional information as more actions are needed. But as we've all said, and I hope you've heard, the most important thing is to call the House right now, as soon as we get off the phone and into tomorrow, and next week to call the Senate on the call-in day on Thursday and tell them not to make the cuts that will hurt so many of our most vulnerable children and families. So again, if you would like to ask a question, please email it to me at dewen@clasp.org at this time. Here is our first question. Helen, we've had several folks ask if you can specifically say what happens to the ARRA funds under H.R. 1, the House proposal.
The ARRA funds are gone. They go bye-bye. They are not there. There is zero for the ARRA funds in the House proposal. Zero. On top of that, they cut $1.083 billion for Head Start from the amount Head Start had before ARRA and $39 million from child care.
Great. Thank you. And so H.R. 1, the cuts to Head Start are on top of the loss of those dollars.
They are.
Great. Thank you. And now can you, Helen, lay out the timeline for the different things that we've talked about? You talked about the House proposal that's there, the Senate, and then the President's budget. Can you just give people a sense of when this is all going to happen?
Sure. The House is supposed to vote by the end of the week on H.R. 1. That's why calling them now is so urgent. Now, again, it's Washington. Things slip, right? But this is the supposed timeline, by the end of the week. Then Congress goes home for a recess, where they will be there for you to make the case in person. They come back, and the continuing resolution expires on March 4th. Technically, the government can't stay open unless they pass a new continuing resolution. So you have 2 weeks to affect the Senate's decision on the continuing resolution. Now, remember what I said, there's always things slip. So what they could do on March 4th is say we can't decide what to do next, and we're going to leave this open till April 4th, and then you'll hear from us again. Right now, you should plan on having all your communications to Congress in by March 4th. The President's budget is a long process. The House and Senate have to pass a budget that has a general spending level, not spending levels for individual programs. That is going to be very difficult to do. If you'll remember, they did not pass a budget last year because there's going to be so much difference between where we should be heading between the House and the Senate. Regardless whether or not they pass a budget resolution, and that usually is supposed to happen by April, they still have to do appropriation bills for next year, for fiscal 2012. The President's budget has recommended that there be increases for 2012. But in order to get those increases, we're going to be fighting with the same guys we're fighting with now. So we're going to have a huge fight all over again. And if they don't reach agreement, we'll be talking to you about a continuing resolution. So you have to hold on to your hats. This is a long process. But to get the numbers in the President's budget, we actually have to deal with the whole appropriations process again. These numbers are not automatic. They are proposals or suggestions for what we should be appropriating for next fiscal year.
Great. Thank you, Helen.
Harriet, we've had some questions about, you referenced the sample op-ed. Can you tell people where they'll find that information?
Yes, actually what we can do is send it back out to everyone again to assist people who want to use it again. And in fact, one of the things we may be able to attach is to show how people were able to modify it and have it be successfully published in various parts of the country. I do want to say, given the opportunity to talk about the sample op-ed and any of the press that you get, as you are getting press, please make sure you share it back with the national groups, and I want to make sure why we need it back. Because people working in Washington take whatever it is that has been put together locally and then re-deliver that back to the relevant leaders and members of Congress. So everything that people have been able to get done so far has been terrific and has really helped basically to amplify the message in Washington. But we will make sure that the op-ed is provided and a sample press release then can be provided if people want that again.
Both of them, as well as the articles, are on First 5 Years Fund's website and the National Women's Law Center's website on the in the March 4th section.
And we will send that out again through NAEYC State Policy Lister.
Fabulous. We have a couple of questions specific to the Head Start cuts. So first we had a question about whether it helps to message about the size of the cuts in Head Start, that 15,000 jobs losses is a pretty significant cut, and is that a message that works with members of Congress, specifically Republicans? Harriet, would you like to try that one?
Sure. I think that what is most effective basically for helping us to get the story out is we've talked a lot about focusing on the very large numbers of children as our first message, okay? And that is the place we want to start because we've been discussing the immediate impact from our programs on children and their development and the very positive consequences that carry through with them into throughout their productive lives and the overall meaning of that investment for competition overall in the economy. So I think from where we're sitting, and especially if people are asking, how do we message this with more conservative members of Congress, that we do really want to focus on the impacts at the child level and really stay strong in that messaging as we move forward.
We've had a related question about how Head Start programs will have to implement the enormous cuts if they actually happen. Helen, do you want to start?
It will be very challenging because these cuts happen in the middle of the year, and programs have planned their program year based on what they were told they were getting for fiscal 2010. There's one issue: if you lose the ARRA money, you will have to shut down new classrooms and cut the children that you recently begun to serve with ARRA money. But if we take the next cut, programs will also may be forced to cut some classrooms in the middle of the year, to cut back staff, to reduce quality, to reduce compensation. It is a very serious issue, and it doesn't affect just Head Start. It affects many programs in HR1 because we are so far into the year. They're not cutting for the new year. They are cutting in the middle of a year, and programs were counting on the amount that they received last year.
Great. Thank you, Helen. Adele, can you talk about cuts in the HR1 to the Department of Education programs?
Yes, so cuts are over almost every program that we care about in terms of serving young children and the early childhood workforce. So if there's also a cut in HR1 to Title I, the grants to school districts, which is used not only for K-12 but can be used for birth to five services as well, that cut is $693 million. IDEA Part B, the part that's over K-12 and up, it would also be cut $557 million. And the Pell Grant Award would be reduced. And for our early childhood workforce, the Pell Grant has served many people well in helping them go back and get their degrees to meet new mandates or as part of their own professional development. So these are three. There are others like the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, but here are three key ones that we can see an impact
particularly around birth through age 8, and our workforce.
Great. Thank you, Adele. Helen, you and Harriet laid out a lot of numbers of children who will be cut. Can you recap for us where those cuts are and how many children it is?
If the House bill passes H.R. 1, 368,000 children will lose Head Start and child care. 218,000 of those are Head Start, and the remainder, 150,000, are child care. And that does include the ARRA children. If we don't continue the ARRA money and we don't have the Head Start cuts, we will lose, and the child care cuts in the House, the additional cuts, we will lose about 300,000 children. So it's pretty close. You can, you know, both sides will lose about 300,000 children. So you can really, you know, count on that number.
And that's why I think we're saying, as you move forward, especially with your messaging next week with the Senate, and for trying to make it personal and your contacts with senators when they're home next week, that we are urging everyone to say that what we need for the Senate to do is to sustain the 300,000 children in the program and make sure that we fully sustain the funding for Head Start, early Head Start, and child care. We know we've been using the 300,000 number, and we hope people have that kind of drilled into your heads at this point and still very relevant in terms of the conversation, especially with your senators.
And I think it's important that people understand that we are telling the Senate a little more than don't just do the draconian cuts in the House bill. You're asking the Senate to sustain the children that are supported by ARRA. And you may say, oh, my goodness, why are we asking for that when the House is doing those big cuts? Because the Senate was committed when they worked on a bill last December to sustain those ARRA children. And no one has told us yet to say, change your message and put down the flag. So we are fighting for the money that was in ARRA as well as for avoiding the House extra cuts.
And, of course, we're doing that because around the country, people have successfully enrolled and are serving the 300,000 children we're talking about. So, again, it's not theoretical. This is truly around attempting to sustain existing services for real children in real families, in communities, all throughout the country.
And we've actually gotten a couple of questions that directly pertain to that, Harriet, so thank you for saying that way. A couple of Head Start programs have written in wanting to know whether they're going to have to give their fiscal 2010 money back or if they should be telling parents whether they're shutting down.
That's a good question. And what we hope is that the Department of Health and Human Services, and I think they, you know, as things unfold, will help you. We think you should not tell parents right now that they're going to lose their Head Start services. And you should not plan on giving your money back because we are going to work very hard to make this cut not happen. The president has come up with a message that says he will veto the House bill. Now, if the cut happens, there are serious things, that changes that you would have to make in your Head Start programs. Right now, focus your energy on making sure that the House knows it's a bad cut, and making sure that the Senate knows not to do the cut and that you need the ARRA money to continue for Head Start. And we can't push 300,000 children out.
And remind folks how to get to their senators next week, Helen.
Very easy. Just dial 202-224-3121. We know you have lots of officials. You have state legislators. You have county officials. You have mayors. So if for some reason you can't remember the name of your senator or representative, Harriet or Danielle spoke about just going to www.senate. No? Remind me.
You can go to www.senate.gov, and there's a place there where you can look by state if you don't know their name.
Right. Senate.gov organizes by state. On the House, there you will be able to find it, but it's a little bit more difficult.
And many of our own websites, if you go through the part that talks about take action, allows you to find those names and contact numbers directly just with your zip code. So try all of our websites, take action portions as well.
Great. We've had a question about whether the loss of ARRA that we've been talking about is only Child Care and Head Start or all of ARRA. So let me remind folks that the ARRA money was two-year money that was given in 2009 that was available just for those 2 years that ended in September of 2010. ARRA money has gone away for just about everybody that had it. There are some programs that have been able to carry it over into this fiscal year, but the ARRA money is gone. The reason we're focusing on it for Child Care and Head Start is because exactly the way that Harriet just talked about it, those dollars are currently in programs at the local level in Head Start and Child Care supporting actual children and families. They didn't build a building. They're not helping to build a road. That maybe there are other dollars to do. They are funding children who, if those dollars are taken away permanently, will have nowhere to go. Their families will find it very difficult to go to work, and the children will be deprived of the important educational and other support services that they need.
And we've been on the track of maintaining the ARRA money. The president put the ARRA money in his budget last year, and both the House and the Senate worked on appropriation bills that included the ARRA money for child care and Head Start. So we were moving along getting the ARRA money continued. This is not a new thing. We've laid the groundwork to continue those funds.
And just to remind you that part of why this is so important for our programs is that while other programs have a combination of state and federal funding or state, local, and federal funding, early childhood programs are almost entirely federal dollars. So the loss of the ARRA funding has really huge impacts because we're not leveraging other dollars or can't rely on other dollars. If these dollars go away, there's nothing to fall back on.
I want to just underscore that point again that Danielle made, because I know that some of you have already heard from your federal elected officials that they don't understand what the problem is. This doesn't seem like enough money. And, of course, you all know deeply, but we have to make sure people understand this, that for early childhood education, the federal investment is the core baseline investment, and that it is very, very, very significant. This seems to be a little bit of a sticking point. So this is really critical if someone is saying, why this, you know, and why is this investment so very, very important? This is the core investment in early childhood education.
Great. Thank you all. We've had a question, Helen, about whether you think that there really will be another continuing resolution after this one.
I don't know. This is going to be a very hotly contested debate. The House is proposing cuts of historic proportions for child care, for Head Start, for so many programs. We have never in Head Start's history seen a cut this large. The president has said he would veto the House bill. We don't know what the Senate bill is going to look like. And this may not get settled in a few days because the Senate is going to vote on their bill, we hope, we think, the week of March 1st, and they may not have a lot of time to settle it. So you have to be prepared to keep fighting. This is no small matter for those 300,000 children. We hope it's over March 4th.
Harriet is sitting here making faces because she's learned that here in Washington nothing happens.
Yeah, I want to emphasize this to the group since I've worked in Washington the shortest period of time. And so one of my observations is that, yes, we should be, as Helen is saying, there is good reason to be cautious around what people set as their self-imposed deadlines to resolve problems here, which I know is hard. Because it also means for everyone where we're saying you need to be in the mix to continue to educate and to engage your senators and also, right now quickly on the House side, that it is an ongoing process and there may be more fast work, basically, that you would be asked to do because there isn't good predictability with all of these timelines. Now, the good part about that is we talked before about the importance of telling your story, really, to people in Congress. And we talked about using site visits and getting people to see programs, to speak to families who can talk about how much gain they are getting for themselves as parents and for their children from their participation. And so while getting people out to your programs next week may seem like a heavy lift, if you think about this process, and you think about it going on, issue the invitations and get going so that you get them there, because there are lots of opportunities for decisions, lots of opportunities for engaging and educating the members of Congress, so that if things aren't closed out by March 4th, there still will be other things happening. So, again, I think the issue here that the timelines may not be what they seem means that you do have the opportunity to really plan for and get people to see the programs and begin to understand in a much more emotional way what's really going on in their local communities.
Great. Great, Harriet. We've also had a question in support of those activities about where state-specific information can be found, and I think each of our websites has some. I would start with ours, which is clasp.org. Issues, if you click on issues and then childcare, we have state-specific fact sheets that go through the impact of the RR losses for each state, including children and jobs, and that's a good place to start. National Women's Law Center has information about what the subsidy program looks like, as well as some state cuts that have already been made. And they can replace the you can replace the information in our state fact sheets or in Harriet's op-eds that's going to be sent around with any information specific to your own organization, so it doesn't look like it comes from a national organization, so it looks like it comes from you. And we're very happy to have you use our information in those ways. I believe we are out of questions at this time. So, Helen, while we're waiting for our last question, if anybody wants to send it to dewen@clasp.org, why don't you sum up for us with the immediate next steps?
Okay, this is a test if you haven't gotten them yet. Commit to calling your representative, your House member, immediately and tell them to vote no on H.R. 1. Call your senators next Thursday to urge them to reject the House bill as their version and to sustain the 300,000 children who are now receiving Head Start and child care. We need lots of calls to the Senate, so circulate the information about the Senate call-in next Thursday that you will be getting or have gotten from many national groups to make the case to protect funding for child care, Head Start, and early Head Start. This will help us build a smarter, healthier, and stronger America. Sustain the funding for Head Start and early Head Start, as well as the funding for child care during FY 2011. Collect data and stories. They are very important, both for child care and Head Start, both for children who have been in Head Start and parents and children and parents who have benefited from child care in your states and communities. Share them with the media, with your members of Congress, with us. Develop new relationships with grasstop leaders who might have access to new or old members of Congress. Think about submitting the op-ed that we've talked about or a letter to the editor. Sometimes it's easier to get a letter to the editor published. Sometimes it's easier to get these things in local papers. So please try. We've had a number of groups who have taken that sample op-ed, adopted it, and gotten it published. We have a new partner and that should help you get members of the business community interested. The Committee for Economic Development sent a letter to all members of the Congress last week talking about supporting the 300,000 children. They did a press release this week urging the House not to pass H.R. 1 and not to cut 368,000 children. So keep at it. We are making a difference, and we have to have our voices heard during what I think has been the most incredible battle that we've ever faced in our country for the hearts and minds of our country and what our priorities are.
Great. Thank you, Helen. That's all the questions we've gotten. I hope you've heard the urgency in each of our voices and each of our messaging about just how important it is that you reach out. Remember that the number to call for the Capitol Switchboard is 202-224-3121, and to look up your member of Congress is house.gov. Just put in your zip code, and senate.gov. You can look by your state. We appreciate everyone joining us today and taking the time out both to listen to these important messages and to do the next steps that Helen talked about. Call your members of Congress today and tell them to vote against H.R. 1, and then next week make sure you call your senators and tell them how important it is to protect the RR dollars and those children that are currently getting services. An audio file and a written transcript of this call will be available on each of our websites in case you missed anything, as well additional information about the budget and appropriations process and the status of all of these pieces of legislation and our request for funding. If you have additional questions, feel free to send them to each of us, and we'll answer them to the best of our ability. And don't forget to call the House and Senate as soon as possible. Put the phone down and then pick it up again and make those phone calls. Thank you, everybody, for your time. We'll be back in touch with the messages and our success, hopefully, as we move forward. And make sure you activate your networks to make sure that the House and Senate hear that Head Start shouldn't be cut, that child care shouldn't be cut, and that early childhood is the most important issue facing their communities and states. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye.